The vaccine versus disease opposition is very much in the news of late because of an outbreak of measles in Washington state. Most of the cases are in Clark County, Washington, across the river from Portland and including the city of Vancouver. And even though that's 250 miles from Jackson County, health workers are making sure to keep people up to speed on the measles situation. Measles is one of the diseases we nearly eradicated through the use of vaccines. When vaccination lags, diseases can and do reappear. We have two guests with us from Jackson County Health and Human Services. Dr. James James is Jackson County's medical director. Good to see you in the chair once again.
Thanks, Jeff.
And Stacy Gregg is with us as well, Jackson County's nursing supervisor or a health clinic supervisor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So to be clear, there are no cases in Jackson County right now. Is that right?
No cases.
Okay. So only one in all of Oregon as of this morning. Just
Correct.
One in Multnomah County. Okay. Mm-hmm. But still, this is the kind of thing that's going to make you guys jump up and do what you did, which is put stuff up on the website. Can you explain the thinking there, Stacy Gregg?
Well, we just want people to be prepared, basically. We want the community to know what's going on in Oregon so that they can take preparations, know their vaccine status, get vaccinated if they're not vaccinated. And then we want the healthcare community to be prepared for when they see children or adults who may be suspicious for having measles.
And so I mean, measles seems to get even more attention than we've had pertussis outbreaks in the region, which is another one of those diseases that there is a vaccine for. Mm-hmm. Is measles sort of like a quantum leap beyond pertussis in our concern, James James?
Well, it's different. Pertussis is also a very serious illness. They have different risks for different groups. Measles, what distinguishes measles is, first of all, it's extremely contagious. It's one of the most contagious diseases we know. And we also have an excellent vaccine for it. The pertussis vaccine has some problems in terms of its efficacy long-term, and measles is a very efficient vaccine. It works quickly, and people can get up to 96-97% protection from it. And it's a serious illness. People get quite sick. They get a high fever, they can get complications, ear infection, pneumonia, but they can also get brain swelling and even death. So different diseases, different sorts of vaccines and different precautions.
Okay, I think you've answered this question already. How contagious is it? It is one of the most contagious diseases out there. Now, people have to cough and sneeze to put aerosol particles out there. Is that how it's spread generally?
Generally how it's spread.
Mm-hmm.
The particles can float in the air and stay in the air for hours.
All right. I don't want to get too weird and pigpenny like here, but I mean, do people have to cough and sneeze, or is there a cloud of stuff around them if they've got measles?
People with measles pretty much can't help coughing and sneezing, so I don't know if it's – the pig pen. I get the analogy
from Peanuts comics. Okay,
right.
There's a cloud of stuff around a person.
Yeah, right.
All right, so that we don't have the cloud, though. We can at least debunk that one. Okay, thank you. So what kinds of things do people do to protect themselves? I mean, if the stuff is in the air around the people who have it because they're coughing and sneezing, I mean, what would be the signs that this is measles versus something else, Stacy Gregg?
I think the rash. Jim and I talk about so it's the measles rash. That's really, I think, what – is that what you would say would differentiate from – I mean, it's the whole picture.
It's a clinical picture that begins with just feeling crappy. Mm-hmm. You get a fever that increases over time, get conjunctivitis, you get a cough, you get a runny nose, and then you get this characteristic rash. And by the time the rash is, a day or two old, you're dealing with a really sick person. So, yes, it's the clinical picture that becomes pretty characteristic. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that the picture that we got of somebody with a rash, it was referred to as a day four rash in a picture from the CDC. How long are people going to show symptoms of measles should they get it? Just measles itself, not any of the complications from it.
You mean how long does the disease itself last?
Mm-hmm.
Usually a week or two if you don't get complications.
But the complications, as you mentioned, go up to encephalitis, which is a swelling
correct.
Of the brain.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Wow. So who is most at risk if they're not sure if their vaccine's up to date, they haven't been vaccinated? I mean, what are the groups that you're most concerned about here as you spread the word about the risks of measles?
We're most concerned about individuals that can't be vaccinated or aren't vaccinated. So, you know, individuals who can't be vaccinated are people or, you know, children under the age of one, pregnant women, we can't vaccinate them, and then anyone that is immune compromised. So, you know, somebody that has AIDS or cancer or tuberculosis, you know, we worry about those people because their immune system's just not, you know, functioning like a healthy person's immune system is.
We were talking about measles and measles vaccines with two members of the staff at Jackson County Health and Human Services. Stacy Gregg is the Jackson County Public Health Clinic Supervisor. Dr. Jim Shames is the Jackson County Medical Director. Your questions and comments about the either measles or the vaccine or how people treat the vaccines, welcome here at the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So say, what 1957, I notice, is given as a cutoff year. Is that about when people were born that began to get the measles vaccines? Is that the general issue?
What we assume for 1957 is that people before that have actually had the disease and have developed natural immunity from having the actual illness.
So if somebody was born in the early 50s, don't know from family history, you know, maybe for religious reasons they didn't get vaccinations, what should that person do?
So the Oregon Health Authority is going to, once again, assume that they're immune. But if they don't know and it's really kind of bothersome, somebody can go to their doctor and have the doctor order a titer test. So a test to see, to check them for immunity. And then, of course, if they don't have access to a provider, they could, you know, it wouldn't be contraindicated to go ahead and get the one dose of the MMR vaccine.
So describe, if you would, Jim Shames, the vaccine protocol. Are there two doses? Is it just one that you take? How does this all work?
There's two doses to get full protection. And the first is given between 12 and 15 months of age, and the second is given between 2 and 4 years of age in an ideal situation. Protection occurs pretty quickly. For example, if you've been exposed to measles and are unimmunized and get the vaccine within the first 72 hours, there's a good chance you either won't get measles or you get a very attenuated case of measles. You get up to 92 to 94% protection from just one shot, and you get up to 97 or 98% with the second shot. So for a highly contagious, serious illness, that's pretty darn good protection.
I have heard of some people who got the first shot but not the second having some issues.
Right. Well, it puts them at greater risk. I think the thing folks forget is that if measles comes into a crowded area, I mean, picture a large classroom at high school, for example, with maybe 40 kids, and the kids that are unimmunized are very likely to get measles. But even the kids that are immunized, even though it's protective up to in the high 90s percentile, there's enough kids in that classroom that one or two of those immunized kids may get sick as well.
Really? So they're not, okay, so it's not 100% protection, as you said, and there's no way to provide 100% protection, it sounds
right.
Like. Right.
Nothing, nothing's
100%. Sealing them in Lucite, okay. Is the measles shot still part of a measles, mumps, rubella?
It is.
MMR, okay.
Yes, it's a combination vaccine. There's also a measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella. We don't carry that at the health department, but that includes the chickenpox in it as well.
So, is there any effects that come from having all those things together in one dose?
Combination vaccines have proven to be very safe and very effective. With any vaccine, you know, you run the risk of having kind of soreness at the injection site. When the body kind of has this immune response, you can kind of feel a little bit under the weather, get a low-grade fever with the MMR, but very safe overall, very few side effects.
When you have the low-grade fever after getting a vaccination, are you in any way infectious or communicable to other people?
No. You're not.
Mm-hmm. And the pathogens of measles that are contained in the vaccination, are those killed? Are those weakened? What's the status of the pathogen in there?
They're weakened. There's a process that goes through where the virulent infectious material gets weakened and weakened and weakened and weakened. And by the time they're able to create a vaccine, it does not cause the disease itself. It might cause a mild rash or something that vaguely looks like measles, but you don't get sick with measles.
As long as we're here, why don't we just go all the way back to Edward Jenner and talk about what it is that vaccines do? You're essentially exposing somebody to a small amount of the disease in a weakened form to get the body to recognize it and develop antibodies for it?
Correct. So if you can find a material that will fool your body into thinking, ah, that's measles, and make antibodies to it, but not make you sick, you've created a vaccine. And some vaccines are better at that than others. They kind of fool better. And pertussis is a good example of a vaccine where in order to get that degree of foolery to produce a really strong antibody response, unfortunately, a number of people had significant side effects. So they produced a weaker vaccine, not quite as effective, but had many fewer side effects.
So do the antibodies hang around the body? I mean, I don't know if the body sloughs off antibodies at some point and you have to get renewals of certain shots. Does that happen, Stacey Gregg, that you have to go back and get a re-upping? You got boosters for things like tetanus, I remember that much.
Yeah, sure. Immunity does wane over time. And so that's what the titers would kind of show. This is a very effective vaccine where immunity, you know, I just don't know of any data that I've seen where the immunity really wanes for the yeah. measles part of this vaccine. You may see a waning in the rubella or the mumps, and then you'd have to go ahead and get the combo vaccine to kind of up.
Just to clarify, it's the cells in your body that continually make the antibodies that remain. The antibodies themselves don't last very long.
Okay. So the cells develop the techniques.
The ability, that's right, mm-hmm. and they just keep making them. Right.
So we've been mentioning the measles shot as part of measles, mumps, rubella. Rubella is German measles, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is an important thing, I think, for people to remember, too. I've had German measles, but there may be people running around thinking, oh, I've had measles. It wasn't that bad. They had German measles if it wasn't that bad, right?
I mean, every disease has a spectrum, and there are going to be some people that aren't going to get terribly sick with measles, but most people get quite ill with measles.
And so has the rubella vaccine been out there a little less time than the measles vaccine? I'm just curious because I'm trying to figure out now why I had German measles.
I don't recall when the rubella vaccine was. It was around the same time, I think.
We're talking about measles and measles cases, of which there are, I want to remind people again, none in Southern Oregon, but we have folks from Jackson County Health and Human Services here to remind us of their urges to get people vaccinated because it was people who were not vaccinated in Clark County, Washington, who are largely getting sick right now. Dr. Jim Shames is Jackson County's medical director. Stacey Gregg is Jackson County's public health clinic supervisor. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your phone calls and emails welcome, 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Stacey Gregg, you mentioned some sense with people who will get the measles vaccine, they might feel a little low-grade stuff for a day or two. They got a mild case of measles, it sounds like. Are there any other side effects that are not related to just having measles from the shot, I mean, that have been documented over the years with MMR?
Sure. With any vaccine, there's going to be kind of a spectrum of, you know, side effects that you can have. But it's, you know, it's a very, very safe vaccine. You know, soreness, like I mentioned, the mild things are going to be the soreness at the injection site, the low-grade fever. You could get a little bit of swelling of the glands in your, you know, your cheeks or your neck, and that's just kind of the immune response. And then, you know, of course, you can have moderate to severe reactions, you know, quite honestly, even anaphylaxis or death from, but that's from any, you know, medication or vaccine. If
anything that enters your body, you're saying you can have a reaction to.
Right. You could have, sure, you could have a bad reaction to it, but mostly safe, very safe, offers a lot of protection.
And what do you have in the way of figures for the amount of immunization in Jackson County for measles in particular? Do you have figures on how many people have received it and what the numbers of exemptions might be and what the trend has been with those?
So in Jackson County overall, two doses of MMR, we have a vaccination rate of 93%. So that's really, really excellent. But then we have these pockets, these areas in some of the communities where, you know, vaccination rates can be as low as 29%.
Wow.
So we, you know, we are very concerned about those areas. And, you know, that's kind of why we are doing the preparation that we're doing.
I know that there's been a fair amount of work out of Jackson County Health and Human Services to reach out to the people, the pockets that you're talking about, where the vaccination rates are low. What do you say to them, first of all? And second of all, have people been listening? Have you improved some of those rates a bit?
The conversation can be a little tricky. Some people are very, very locked into their point of view that vaccines are harmful. And sometimes, it's pretty hard to reach those folks. There's a lot of people that are just questioning. They're on the fence. They don't know. They've heard this. They've heard that. And it's really quite satisfying to reach out and have those conversations. What we're doing is we're trying to be as prepared as possible. We're meeting with individuals from the schools. We're meeting with folks from the hospital. We're meeting with pediatricians and ER healthcare providers to make sure that we've got a nice, clear communication pathway so everybody knows what to do when somebody might show up with a suspect measles case. So we don't have that situation where they're at the Moda Center or they're at IKEA or, you know. Where
we someplace can, with there's lots
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, so we can identify it early, get folks in a safe place early. And I just want to mention that if somebody thinks they might have or they might have a child with measles, what we want them to do is to call their healthcare provider ahead of time so they can arrange for an evaluation visit that doesn't put a lot of other people at risk.
Earlier in the process is better than you're saying?
Well, the point is you don't want to walk in, sit in the waiting room for an hour, go into an exam room, nobody's masked. You know, everybody's trying to get geared up so that if we have a case of measles, that we will expose the fewest number of people in the process of identifying it and then treating it.
If somebody does get measles, how long are they communicable to other people? How long are they liable to pass on the infection?
We talk about an incubation period being about 21 days. That's what we would exclude children from school for. But typically it's a little bit shorter. It's, averages about 10 to 12 days that it's they're incubating.
So the time that people are most contagious to others is 4 days before the rash and 4 days after the rash.
Okay. And the rash itself lasts for how many days?
7 to 10.
Okay.
Well, or less perhaps, right, but it has a range.
But we're talking, 2 to 3 weeks certainly where there's some issue to carry to other people. We're just down to our final minute here, and I just want to ask what it's like as health professionals to watch diseases that you learned about, I'm sure, in your training that were pretty much eliminated and now they're back.
Well, I understand that if you've never seen measles and your healthcare provider has never seen measles, after a while it just becomes kind of mythology. And so the risks of the vaccine can rise in importance in your mind when nobody you know has ever seen measles. So I understand that, but we are so close. We have the potential of eradicating measles off the face of the earth like we did with smallpox. What we will probably do with polio, it's that effective a vaccine and it's that severe an illness. So I would like people to remember that when they make these decisions, they're making them for an entire community. I guess I would leave it with that.
All right. So call your healthcare provider if you have any questions, any specific concerns as well. No measles in Southern Oregon. I want to underscore that over and over again. One case in Multnomah County, the rest in Clark County, Washington. Jim Shames, Jackson County Medical Director. Stacy Gregg, Public Health Clinic Supervisor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.